I had to take a short vacation.
And from something that happened years prior.
Yeah. I had to take a short vacation, which couldn't have come at a worse time. Mm-hmm. Like when I talk about I was living like life to the fullest. Like I was able to take myself on vacation. I had money to blow at this point. I had a sterling, pristine reputation in advertising again. And I was sought after. Mm-hmm. Like I was already starting to interview for like ad director roles. Mm-hmm. I was in that space and I was like climbing and I just saw the world for myself. And then I had to take a short vacation. And
what age are you? And what year?
This is 2015. Which we don't know, this is 6 years ago. Literally around this same time. This is 6 years ago. And you know, I had to go take that vacation because consequences. Mm-hmm. And you know, what that forced me to do for the first time with failure and those things is just like is sit in it. Mm-hmm. Had nowhere else to go. So, you know, I remember I didn't tell a ton of people. Mm-hmm. It wasn't, because to me, it wasn't like I was ashamed. It just, to me, it wasn't something to tell people. Mm-hmm. But I you know, I did what I had to do. But now I was in a completely different headspace mm-hmm. and in a completely different just position in mm-hmm. life. So I still had the party mm-hmm. and the events, and you know, whether it was by force or by just circumstance, that was the shiny thing. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you know what? I probably don't have a choice either way, but I'm going to have to put all of myself into this. Mm-hmm. And I did that. And,
so you're not applying for jobs when you come back. All in on this.
I'm all in. And I'm saying to myself and to my team, if I can put 110% of myself into this thing, I know it will blow. Because mm-hmm. we have enough people and talent. We have enough things in place here to take this thing to the moon. Mm-hmm. And we did. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that began the next chapter of my life as an entrepreneur and as a business owner.
So what year is that?
It's 2015.
Mm-hmm. So you're driving force for that, because I kept revisiting that throughout your story. Mm-hmm. And it's just, I want to party. I want to get fly. I want to party. I want to have fun. I want to get fly.
Yep.
So when you do your 110% into this, aside from survival, because mm-hmm. you're on the do not hire list mm-hmm. of places that mm-hmm. you want to be.
Most places.
Yeah. What are your driving forces behind this?
I felt like I had something to prove, mm-hmm. Not only to myself, but to my family and to my friends. I was like, you know, I got to do this. Mm-hmm. Like, because one, I don't see a ton of other options, but then it's like, no, like I can make this thing not only legitimate, mm-hmm. but I can make it a business. I can make it bigger. Like I am capable of running a business. At all my stops, I was a key cog in major businesses. Mm-hmm. So I was like, you know, I can do that for myself. And I can take this group of people and do that. Mm-hmm. And that was my driving force. Like it was like, yes, it was seeing people across the world enjoy the event and have a place to go to. But I was a maniac mm-hmm. about this working. And I used all of my tools, from learning how to sell to learning how to market to how to storytell to how to engage people. Mm-hmm. I put every skill that I had at that time into this business. Mm-hmm. And you know, thankfully, we did it.
So when you started, it's in New York.
Yep. It's in the city. It's in Harlem.
And it stays there.
It stays there for the first. It stays there for the first 4 years.
Okay.
It stays there for the first 4 years, and we spend that time really just imprinting ourselves in the city.
Okay.
And growing incrementally. Like we didn't. there was no plan of like, yo, we're going to go from here to, you know, where we ultimately ended up. But the plan was more or less, yo, we're going to just continue to put our all into this mm-hmm. and see how far we can go. That was always, yo, let's just see how far we can take it. Mm-hmm. And, you know how it goes. Once you're popping in the city, you're popping everywhere. Mm-hmm. So like people are like, yo, bring it to DC, mm-hmm. bring it to Boston, bring it to Atlanta, bring it to Miami. And it was just like, whatever. That's just Twitter.
Yeah.
But it was real. Mm-hmm. It was real. And we had a tangible product that was birthed in real life, but it was essentially an internet phenomenon, you know? So, I just started using my business development skills. I started using my advertising brain of like, yo, we need to be able to tell a good story. And in addition to making sure the experience was A1 and that we were doing right by the people, but yeah, we need to just have a great product and tell a really good story around the product. And that's what we did.
So what were the components of that story that you think made it become a thing?
I think it would, the biggest part of it was that when people would come to the party, they would see themselves mm-hmm. in us. You know, like we were all either people from New York or people who spent time spent most of their life in New York. And we leaned into that. Like we didn't want to do what was being done in New York at the time, which was like the bottle service and all that stuff. Like we just wanted to go have a good time as like people who didn't have a ton of money. Mm-hmm. So like we made sure that always showed that like you could show up as yourself. You could look, you could be authentic. Like you could come like this. You could go like that anywhere, but you could come like this to the party. You know, I could show up like this in sweatpants and a t-shirt and mm-hmm. I'm still getting treated with the same respect as somebody, you know what I'm saying? In the hard denim and you know, the expensive designer shoe, like we're going to treat you the same way. And if not, we're going to treat you even better, mm-hmm. you know? So like that was a huge component of it, was people seeing themselves. And then beyond that, it was just like the basic components of a party. Like I think people overthink it a lot, mm-hmm. but we always made sure we had excellent DJs. We had excellent hosts mm-hmm. and we had liquor that people loved. And that was the formula. And like, because it was such a simple formula, so many people tried to duplicate it mm-hmm. and copy it. But that's when we realized that we were the prize. And like, mm-hmm. we were the reason, like it wasn't all that other stuff. Like we were the reason that people were coming. And, you know, while that's super flattering, it's also a huge responsibility mm-hmm. as well, because now you can't just go and do your job. You got to cater to folks. Mm-hmm. You know, like everybody wants to speak to me while I'm trying to run this liquor to here and get mm-hmm. this DJ on the set. And like, yo, people want to stop, take a picture, do all that stuff. So like, even like learning that piece of it, like, cause like, you know, when you're just promoting, mm-hmm. that's all you got to do. Like, yeah, I'll get people drunk. I'll take pictures. I'll do this. But like when you're throwing the event or a specially curated event, that takes another level mm-hmm. of discipline. That takes another level of just commitment mm-hmm. to it. And, you know, a lot of those events I didn't enjoy mm-hmm. because I was in the weeds and like, you know, just making sure, like, because if it didn't work, mm-hmm. like, yeah, people will say something to Lo mm-hmm. on Twitter, you know, people will holler at Kaz on Twitter, but I was catching the brunt of that, not only from social media, but also from real people mm-hmm. and like real consumers and venues and all. So like, you know, just understanding my place in that, I put the challenge on myself. Like, you know, I have to be great every single time we do this mm-hmm. or else it's not going to work. Like other folks can have a night off. Mm-hmm. I can never have a night off. And
it's your lifeblood.
Yeah. Like
that was your livelihood.
Yeah. That was how I paid my bills. That was how, you know, I supported my family. Mm-hmm. That was how I made ends meet. Like that was my only thing. Like, and it used to even shame me to say that, because I think there's still like that stigma mm-hmm. of party promoter. Like, I'm like, this is how I feed mine mm-hmm. and we're doing it well. I'm not struggling at mm-hmm. all, but it's still like that stigma. Cause it's mm-hmm. like, yes, you want to be successful, but you want to be successful in a certain way.
Yeah.
Like, you want that light to shine on your success in mm-hmm. a certain way. And that was something that I struggled with mm-hmm. because, like, I would snap when people would call me a promoter
yeah.
and do that. And I'm just like, you don't understand. No, this is yeah. deeper than that. This is curation. This is that. And, you know, so I'm dealing with that, mm-hmm. that piece of it. And I'm just, I'm struggling as I'm building. Like, I'm mm-hmm. struggling with the perception of it all. I'm struggling with the reality versus the perception. I'm struggling with, you know, trying to please everybody, mm-hmm. trying to make sure that not only is the team okay, but the consumer is good. And then now I'm trying to package this thing up and present it to brands because mm-hmm. I know that side of it. So I'm trying to do all of this stuff, and that's why I needed my full attention. It needed my 110.
So it started with using one specific brand of alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
And you were funding this out of your pocket, not yep. with any type of partnership nope. or sponsorship.
Nope.
Why were you not having anybody reach out to you to become a part of that?
You mean like brands?
Yeah, because it was huge.
Yeah, but it was, I think what we realize now, and what I've come to realize over the years is that those conversations are very very political.
Mm-hmm.
And what we had built was something really raw and really really from the ground up. Like it was grassroots, as you would call it. So what we were experiencing when trying to go and get sponsorship and partnership is like the people we were talking to loved the event, mm-hmm. came to all of them. But there's a difference between loving it and putting your brand stamp on something mm-hmm. because then you're talking about a completely different world as far as liabilities, as far as like, yeah, we love it, but we don't like this particular part about it. So like
the black people part.
Not even the black people part. I would say more so like just certain elements of the party. Like, yo, we don't like the water guns. Mm-hmm. We don't like all of the twerking. Like, mm-hmm. it, you know, it's stuff like that. It'll be silly, but we're sitting here like, yo, these are the elements. Mm-hmm. Like, these are the elements that make someone want to come. Mm-hmm. You know, so we're not going to eliminate that just to get a brand check. And I think what you're seeing now, and you were seeing it then too, is like, when brands get involved, it just becomes a different thing. I'm not going to say it becomes worse or it becomes like watered down, but it just becomes different mm-hmm. because now you have a set of you now technically work for someone else.
Mm-hmm.
As you still work for yourself, but you work with someone else. So they have certain goals and certain KPIs and things that need to be met on their end. So you guys are working together, mm-hmm. but you better please them because you need that check. So that when we were doing that, I used to look at it as a slight, like, yo, why won't they rock with us? But then over time, I'm like, man, I still get full autonomy over what we do. So mm-hmm. I'm just going to build this into the best possible product for us. And if someone wants to align, they will.
Mm-hmm.
We'll still pitch actively. Like I was still out there pitching like crazy. But at the end of the day, like what we have is special enough as is. Like what we had was enough. And like, because we were doing 6,000 people mm-hmm. before a brand ever came to us. Mm-hmm. Like we were doing 5,000 people without booking an artist. Mm-hmm. Like we were doing that. So we had a strong product before anybody gave us a dollar. And like that to me spoke to the power of what we were doing. Mm-hmm. Like the people believed. And that's one thing about this space. You could have all the brand partnerships in the world. You could have all the support. You could have all the influencers tweeting your stuff. If the people don't believe, it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm. So in 2015 is when you guys went on the road.
For the first time, yes. Yes. Fall of 2015.
Yes. So you're traveling now. And mm-hmm. again, I go back to that question about your foresight.
Yep.
Now what's your driving force? Is this something like your advertisement job where you're like, this is my career. I see mm-hmm. this going. I'm retiring out of this. This is the thing. Is that how you're looking at this? Or is it something else? The feeling of being on the road that's making you, we got to do this more. We got to do this.
I think it was more so I was in the moment mm-hmm. and really enjoying what we were doing. So I was focusing on the right now. I was focusing on what was right in front of me. But when I did get to sit back and look at the overall scope of it, I saw it as a means to an end. Mm-hmm. I did. I saw it as like this thing won't last forever, but this will propel me into other spaces. This will propel me back into being, you know, a full-time businessman. I can own my own agency. I can make those type of plays by just showing this great marketing exercise. Mm-hmm. So that's what I saw it as. And then like going on the road, to me, we just needed more people. Like, you know, I say, we don't believe you need more people. I was like, yeah, we just need more people. And like we went to DC and we, you know, low key went to Howard. So we did Howard Homecoming. It went terrible, but we had started to establish a footprint there. And like, mm-hmm. you know, Atlanta, same thing. And then the big challenge for us that year was Los Angeles, because we knew no one. We knew people, but we didn't know people who would make this thing pop. So I was doing my research. I mean, I'm hitting up artists that I know. I'm hitting up, you know, the influencers, people of that nature. Like, yo, who do we need to be in contact with mm-hmm. to make it pop in LA? Because LA just moves differently. Mm-hmm. And you know, shout out to my guy Pun. Pun put me in contact with the guys from Supreme Team, mm-hmm. and we had them tickets on sale for like a month and it moved like 100. Mm-hmm. And we were like, damn, we're gonna flop. and that was one thing we didn't do. We didn't flop. Mm-hmm. Like, even if like the party may not have been as good, it was always packed. Mm-hmm. And I was like, damn, we're gonna have an empty flop in LA. And I'm like, yeah, I'll probably be done after that. I'm cool. Mm-hmm. But no, those guys came on. Shout out to Gary and Adib. And
I was there.
Yeah. And that's actually where you and I met.
Yeah.
Which is crazy.
I was hyped. That was my first one.
That was where you and I met.
Because I was never in New York when your party was going on, and I had moved to LA. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't 21 when you first started your party.
Which is crazy. You're so young. Yeah.
But I knew we have mutual friends. So everybody's like, yo, come with me. Never went. Moved to LA. Did not like going out in LA. Mm-hmm. And then when I heard the party was coming here, I was like, got my little crew together. Like, let's go.
Yep.
So, yes, that was an amazing party.
It was. It was still one of our best to this day.
Definitely.
Still one of our best to this day.
Okay, so you travel, and people don't know this about you, but I get to know it about you because we started dating. We started dating 2 years after that.
Yes.
And at that time, we were having conversations around your party. Of course, I have a lot of questions. Mm-hmm. And I championed you before mm-hmm. we started dating because I was like, mm-hmm. you're creating this thing that's like an escape for people. Mm-hmm. Like me, who's in education, stressful, like to have that opportunity to go somewhere and just forget everything mm-hmm. and enjoy yourself. And then once I got into a relationship with you, mm-hmm. my conversation completely changed
because
I saw how much it drained you mm-hmm. and how unhappy you were doing it in mm-hmm. 2017.
Mm-hmm.
So at that time you were preparing a deck to represent for partnership. And I just remember you still being stressed. Like, I don't mm-hmm. know if I want to do this, but
yeah,
like I have people relying on me. And also, again, this is my lifeblood and mm-hmm. I have places I want to go.
Mm-hmm.
So you go have this conversation.
Mm-hmm.
You get news that this is happening.
Yep.
And what does that look like? How does it feel?
For me, it was a mixed bag of emotions for me. One of the emotions was absolutely relief.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that we wouldn't be funding this thing out of pocket anymore. There was another piece that was, I'd call it gratitude that somebody believed. And not only believed, but believed enough to put their checkbook next to it and align with us fully. And then, you know, but I was still in a space of being tired
mm-hmm.
and throwing this event was tiring. And I felt like while I was happy, I was fully present in the moment. I started to see those things for myself again, as far as like moving through different ventures, things of that nature. So I saw a brighter future for myself. But I was like, everything still kind of ties back to this party. Mm-hmm. And we still got to do it at a high clip. And at this point, we're 6 years in. So it's like, what's different? But I do feel like it, to a sense, did re-energize the team. Mm-hmm. It re-energized the consumer, because mm-hmm. they had been on that ride with us, so they knew our frustrations. Mm-hmm. And so that was like, I feel like that was such a huge moment for the culture, and that's not overstating it at all. Mm-hmm. Like, that was such a huge, I remember the moment. Like, mm-hmm. I just got the reminder a couple of days ago. Like, we dropped that mm-hmm. in, you know, 2018. So, like, I felt all of those things, but I never fully breathed. Mm-hmm. I never, like, sat on my couch and was like, oh, we did it. I never had that moment. Like, mm-hmm. we felt like we did it. And it just, because then now we're talking about partnership. Now, the expectation, like, granted, I hold us to the highest standard on execution, but now the expectation is through the roof mm-hmm. because of who we're aligned with and who we're working with. So it's like, yo, that better pop. Mm-hmm. Like, that better be. So yeah. Now, like, the pressure's on tenfold. So now, whereas, like, we're comfortable if we don't fully sell out a venue, now we're doing everything within our power to do it. So then, you know, it did become different. It became mm-hmm. a different party. The strategy changed. It was still great, and I would say it was still the best product mm-hmm. and the best party out, but it was different. Mm-hmm. You know, it did feel like you didn't really get that house party feel anymore. It just felt like a huge event, mm-hmm. Which is dope, mm-hmm. but at the same time, it's like I'm getting further and further away from why I started. Mm-hmm. I'm getting further and further away from what made me, I started off doing this because I enjoy it. Mm-hmm. And you talk about almost 2 years of, like, I had moments. Mm-hmm. I had moments where I enjoyed it, but you're talking about something that was really a job. Mm-hmm. And not just in the party, like outside of the party, like there's maintenance, there's relationship building, mm-hmm. there's protecting the brand. Mm-hmm. Like, there's all these things now that I didn't necessarily have to think about like that before. Whereas now it's like, oh no, I got to be on 100% of the time. And like, having to be on for something that you're losing passion for mm-hmm. is difficult. Mm-hmm. And like, it's like you're almost, it's almost like you're acting. Mm-hmm. Like, yo, I got to get up and put this face on to do this thing that everybody loves. Mm-hmm. Like, everybody around me loves this thing. Like, you know, I think there were some people who were where I was as far as like the fatigue, mm-hmm. but everybody loves this thing. And like, I'm over it, mm-hmm. you know, and I'm over it. And I think that was something that I had to accept too, mm-hmm. that you can build great things. Like, you can build huge things. You can build things that shift culture, and you can move on from them mm-hmm. and you can be over them. And, you know, I think more than what the thing was, mm-hmm. I loved what it did for me. Yeah. You know, I love the position that it put me in. You know, it put me in another leadership position mm-hmm. within the culture. And I was already there with Palooza before, but with this move, like, you're just put in a different light, like mm-hmm. with who you're adjacent to. So that was an experience mm-hmm. of all experience. And, you know, it started to lead me back into that place where, because it's not, on paper, it's not a failure, mm-hmm. but it started leading me to that place of like feeling the why of things. Like, why did this go like this? Why mm-hmm. does this feel like this? Why do I feel like this? Mm-hmm. And that was difficult mm-hmm. for me.
So 2018, mm-hmm. big year, big announcements.
Man.
So I remember mm-hmm. me finding out I was pregnant in 2018.
Yes, September 6th.
Yeah, not planned.
No.
Nothing I desired at all.
Yep.
But immediately feeling that guilt because of the conversations we've had mm-hmm. around what you were doing career-wise. Mm-hmm. And I never got to ask you, so I'm going to ask you now, like,
wow.
What pressure did that put on you in that time? Already feeling low, mm-hmm. depleted. How did that make you feel?
You want to talk about pressure. Mm-hmm. I already put an inordinate amount of pressure on myself, just in how I want to live and what I want to do. When you factor in not only a partner, but a child now to be responsible for, the pressure bursted the pipe. Like I was a wreck. Like for all of my excitement, like I was frantic because like I live in a dependent. I have a dependent job. Like my job is dependent on people showing up. It's dependent on another person signing a check. It's dependent on people doing their jobs. I don't just go out to the lake, kill some fish, and then we eat. Like that's not what my job was. So within that, now I'm feeling that chain of pressure. So like nothing that you did or said, but it's like, oh no, I have to go and get this. So now when a check isn't on time, or when an agreement isn't what it was originally agreed upon, that changes everything. So now it's like, because I'm like, yo, I gotta have this in order. I gotta have it. Because that, in the very least, like I go back to like just my thoughts of being a provider, my thoughts of taking care of a household. It's like I can't do that if I'm not financially set and straight. And so like that's all I'm thinking about, and not even taking into effect or account, excuse me, all of the other things. Mm-hmm. So while I'm not even thinking about those things, I'm not even able to get the money right the way I need to. And like get the, and so like, so then that just pressurizes everything. So now the business, if I wasn't enjoying it before, like I'm definitely not enjoying it now. And it's just coming out and it's manifesting in just ugly, ugly ways. Like it's manifesting in the way I speak to people. It's manifesting in, you know, habits, drinking. Like it's manifesting that, like not dealing with things. So all of that stuff is coming up to the surface. And for those who were close enough to see me, especially you got to see it firsthand. And it was not pretty.
So you're over it. 2017, mm-hmm. when I meet you.
Yep.
We're in 2018, you get this partnership. Mm-hmm. You're feeling depleted. Mm-hmm. You know you have to do this for the people, mm-hmm. because they need it. They enjoy mm-hmm. it. They love it. And you also have a team of people who some depend on you for this mm-hmm. and get their enjoyment mm-hmm. out of it. Mm-hmm. Then expecting a child mm-hmm. and 2019 comes. Mm-hmm. You lose your child. Mm-hmm. And you still end up in 2019 having the biggest party known to man.
Yes.
So what's the lead up from that? After all that you lost, again, back to the parable of the long spoons, and you're legitimately living in hell, but to others mm-hmm. it looked like everything to mm-hmm. them, be it from watching you from social media mm-hmm. or just the way you carry yourself up close and being yep. able to see that. People probably was like, yo, this guy's got it. He got his partnership. He's living mm-hmm. on Easy Street, mm-hmm. which is why I'm so happy you decided to sit on this chair and yeah. have this conversation, because you were literally killing yourself.
Yes.
Literally killing yourself, and still was able, not saying that you need to kill yourself to do something amazing, mm-hmm. but we have to take our hats off to that. So yeah. leading up to that, when 2018 came, did you know that was what you wanted to eventually do? Or was it that second year that you were like, we need to go big?
No, that was in our sights. As soon as the ink dried on the partnership, we were like, we need to take it to Barclays. Okay. Like that'll be our ultimate thing. And you know, shout out to Benner. He doesn't get nearly enough credit in the Palooza story as for his ambition. Mm-hmm. Because like I am ambitious, but I am also cautious. Mm-hmm. And Benner is the reason we went on tour. Mm-hmm. That wasn't me. Like Benner is the reason we went on tour. And then when we got this, he was like, yo, man, like we got to do Barclays. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, eh. I'm like, here you go. Like, that's just me. Like, here you go. And like, and that was always what it would be. Like I would, mm-hmm. you know, respectfully, I would hear him out, but I was like, man, no, like how are we going to party in an arena? Cause I was always thinking about the party mm-hmm. and just the experience of people interacting together. I'm mm-hmm. like, man, no, And again, his ambition and his persistence.
Yeah.
Like, Bennett's not gonna let it die.
Yeah.
So he's like, yo, man, Barclays. Like, we did year one, and you know, we ended up doing Hammerstein Ballroom mm-hmm. a couple times. And he's like, yo, man, Barclays 10,000. I was like, yeah, whatever, man. So going into 2019, you want to just talk about a year. So, you know, it starts off with us expecting Ryan. We lose Ryan in April, and I don't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, we're kind of at the start of our calendar year. So I'm like, all right, I don't know what the hell to do. I don't know where we're going to end up.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I just know we got to do something, and I have to do something mm-hmm. to not sit here and kill myself in grief.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And you're also not living in New York anymore.
Yeah, I'm not living in New York. I'm now in Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a different dynamic. So these people who I've been working with for all this time, they're used to being able to take an Uber to me
mm-hmm.
or us being able to meet up in the city and like discuss strategy and the game plan, what we're doing, have meetings, like all of that, where now everything is phone
mm-hmm.
or when I see them and you know, whatever city we're going to. So that was an adjustment for all of them. And with how much of that weight I carried, it was hard for the business to function
mm-hmm.
without me at full capacity. So you know, I felt that. And you know, so we go through the year, we're figuring out, but we got our eyes set on Barclays. And you know, between Benner and our agent Justin, they start to work for the deal. And I'm in such a depressed state
mm-hmm.
all of 2019 that like I'm making the calls when I need to. I'm decision making still, but I'm through. You know, I lost my daughter, and like, you know, I'm struggling in every capacity of life. Like nothing is working for me the way I want it to. So we get to that moment where everything is secure. I know what's happening. But then everybody on the team is tired.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's tired. But I'm like, all right, this is that shot in the arm that'll excite everybody. Like, this will excite my mother. Like, yeah, we're doing Barclays. And so, you know, we make the announcement. Like, we did a teaser, like, just like with like the subway, stand clear, closing doors, next stop, Atlantic Barclays Center. And, you know, people got it when we mm-hmm. put it out. I was like, I will save the date.
Mm-hmm.
And just seeing people's excitement, like, it gave me a little boost.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, okay. Like, and then we formally announced it, and everybody went nuts.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember that day, I was just sitting, I was here, I was in Los Angeles, and I remember just sitting here and thinking, finally, like, this is it.
Mm-hmm.
This is that moment that I've been waiting for. This is, like, people always say, yeah, what was that moment? What was that? I was like, this is the apex. And I remember saying that to everybody. I say, yo, guys, we may go on to do more arenas. We may go on to do even something bigger, like a festival. Nothing will ever be cooler than this
mm-hmm.
right here. Like this moment, nothing will top the way you feel mm-hmm. right now. And, you know, I remember just letting that momentum carry us. We didn't have to do much after we announced it. Like we announced it. We got the talent together because we're like, we want to give folks a show.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we got up to the night of you know, December 13th. 2019, and it happened.
Mm-hmm.
It happened, and even in those moments, I didn't feel it.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't feel it. Like, all that build up, and to me, it just felt like a night. It was a big night. It just felt like a night. Like, you know, we did probably the biggest party in New York history, in New York City history. We did the biggest party, and at the end of the night, I felt nothing.
Yeah.
I felt, let me say, not nothing. I was proud. Mm-hmm. I was very proud of what we were able to accomplish. I was proud of the individuals who pushed us there. I was super proud of Benner.
Mm-hmm.
And happy for folks. But when I got to sit down, I was like, we did it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and you were with me.
Mm-hmm.
I went to sleep because I was that tired.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think even after that, you know, like I cried, you know, I cried a lot.
Like you always cry.
But, but you know, I just cried because it felt like we won a championship. But then I started thinking about all that it took to get there,
mm-hmm.
and all that I didn't have left.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I just broke down. I broke down, and I believe we were still in the Airbnb, mm-hmm. in Jersey. And I was like, man, I'm good,
mm-hmm.
you know? And yeah, I'm getting emotional even just thinking about it now.
So what's your mind after that? Because again, this is still your livelihood.
Mm-hmm.
You did this big thing, and you're also concerned with who you are,
yep.
reputation.
Yep.
I did this big thing. I yep. can't do small now.
Yeah. Yeah. So my mind is, you know, there's the Benny the Butcher line, like last year was about branding, this year is about expanding. So in my mind, we had this huge brand. I need to now use this to just leverage other opportunities, and just, you know, seek opportunities, for the brand and seek opportunities for myself.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I started doing. Like, immediately, I was like, yo, we need to be doing this, and this next year. And then there's like, you know, Benner and Justin are trying to set up the tour again and do this. And I'm like, all right, I think I can stomach one more year of touring, but like, we need to be growing this business. Like, we have a full blown agency that we can operate. Like, we can go either which way. We can go into event production. We could go into content. We can go into influencer marketing. Like, we can do whatever we want to do. But, you know, at the center of it was still the thing.
Mm-hmm.
And as I'm taking these meetings, and we're the hottest thing to talk to. So anyone will take a meeting with me. Anyone will take a call from me. So I'm just like trying to structure that and figure out where the business goes from there. And, you know, we get into 2020.
Mm-hmm.
And we have some partnerships coming up. We got some big stuff in the works and some big stuff happening. And COVID hits.
Mm-hmm.
COVID hits. And then, you know.
COVID hits the day after your first handcrafted.
Yeah, COVID hits the day after my first.
The lockdown hits.
The lockdown hits after my first handcrafted in the city. We're Raven. And then, you know, COVID hits, everybody kind of panics.
Mm-hmm.
And I just stop,
mm-hmm.
completely. Cause you know, I'm still doing some consulting work. I'm doing other things, but I'm just like, all right, this is major. And like I felt the weight of COVID when it first hit. I don't think to the extent that it is now, I don't think anybody knew it would be this, but
you
I was like,
I did.
You said September, but
I didn't say September.
I said September.
Yes.
But yeah, so it hits. And I'm just like, I'm not even in the space to figure this out. Like, I don't even have the energy,
mm-hmm.
to put my mind muscles into that. So we, you know, we have a few calls. And again, back to me being tired, back to me being over it. You know, I'm being just short and snappy with the team. Like, I don't have the energy.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, we're also in the process of renegotiating our deal. And then maybe a month after COVID hits, you know, we get hit with more. Mm-hmm. And you know, now we gotta make some decisions. You know, as a company, we gotta make some decisions as a brand, and quickly. Mm-hmm. And quickly. So you know, we did what we needed to do, mm-hmm, in that time. And you know, it but even in that time, it got me to being a lot more introspective and a lot more reflective. Mm-hmm. And it allowed me to appreciate what we were able to accomplish in that time. So, like, you know, I just feel like what we were able to do was phenomenal. Mm-hmm. The circumstances thereafter, it kind of leaves things where they are. I mean, you know, with the possibility, like, could we do more? Could we? Sure. Mm-hmm. Who knows when the world will be even open like that again for us to do things at the scale that we were doing it. But then, yeah, also, it's like, I gotta stop thinking about everybody else before myself. Mm-hmm. And what that thing was so much me, and and took so much of me, that we're talking about me having nothing left, and I needed to start to pour back into Cam and start to feed Cam, because I've been, back to the spoon, I've been feeding everybody else for a long time. And that's no slight to anybody. Like, that's just my nature. Like, I don't regret it. Like, I don't resent it, but I didn't have time to pour into me and to pour into other things that were pouring into me.
Now I'm sitting here listening to you getting emotional, because what a time.
Yeah.
But since summer, mm-hmm, or even we were still in the spring.
Yep.
When everything happened, mm-hmm, and you were, which I don't think you even spoke to now, you were doing the consulting and pretty consistently from, yep, probably like October.
Yep.
So you basically did have another gig.
Yep.
And once all that came to a head, you, mm-hmm, lost that same, yep, day, same moment, basically.
Yep.
So everything done. Yep. Again, just like,
I lost everything.
Yeah. Everything.
I lost everything.
Everything. And I just remember, because we weren't together at the time.
Yep.
And
so I said everything.
Yeah. I remember I felt like, one, I was supposed to be there for that, because, mm-hmm, Lord knows what you would have done. Mm-hmm. And I just think about me asking you earlier about how you dealt with those lows, mm-hmm, which was the drinking, the going, mm-hmm, out, and for that to happen during COVID, when, mm-hmm, going out is not an option anymore. So, mm-hmm, you do have to sit with your stuff, and you had a lot that you needed to sit, mm-hmm, with. Be it the passing of Ryan, because, mm-hmm, that didn't happen. Mm-hmm. Me, us breaking up, mm-hmm, in February. Mm-hmm. COVID.
Yep.
The whole world was grieving that, because the, yep, sense of normalcy is gone. People are losing jobs. People, yep, are getting sick. People can't have that real person-to-person interaction.
Yep.
And then on top of losing everything. Uh-huh. Every single thing. Uh-huh. So, now here we are. It's 2021, so, mm-hmm, thank God we made it through the year. Mm-hmm. Do you feel like unfinished business? Like, you need to have another one?
No, I don't. I feel like we've reached the mountaintop several times. You know, it's comparable to The Last Dance with Mike, when he's... Like, you'll look back and like, man, we could have won 7, we could have won 8. Mm-hmm. But when I'm able to look back fondly of this, it's like, no one will ever do that again. Mm-hmm. It wasn't done before us. No one will ever do it again. So I can put my flag in that, right? As far as, like, we're talking about just accomplishment and, mm-hmm, like that feeling. You know, I think that it was what it was, mm-hmm, which was a special time. With special people, for the best, for the greatest city in the world. Mm-hmm. So I think that that is, that's how you want to, that's how you, that's how I remember it. I think that's how most people will remember it. And the beauty in that is so many different stories get to be told mm-hmm. off of that. Like I got 100 stories, mm-hmm. so I can only imagine people who have been right. Mm-hmm. And that's all you want to do. When you talk about legacy, especially of things like that, it's just like, how will it be remembered? And it'll be remembered very fondly mm-hmm. by people who came. And, you know, I like to think that, you know, to your point, we did give people something. Mm-hmm. We gave people an escape. We gave people a Mecca. We mm-hmm. gave people somewhere to go to. We gave people an Alamo. Like, yo, you know, so like we got our producer here, LaShawn, who doesn't go to parties, mm-hmm. but he came to ours. And like,
he's,
you know,
in there acting up.
Yeah. he's never acting up anywhere, but he came to ours and you know, like just people like that who just have stories about it and what it did, you know, what it did for somebody in a rough time, like somebody else who probably lost everything, but went out that night and just forgot for one night mm-hmm. that they lost everything, you know? So we have those and we, you can't tell the story. You can't tell the story of culture. You can't tell the story. You can't tell the story of hip hop culture, of New York City culture, without talking about Palooza. Mm-hmm. Like it's just not possible. So you know, I think I have zero regrets mm-hmm. and a ton to be proud of.
So we're over 2 hours.
Okay,
but I feel like
damn, we are.
I hope everybody listens to this part.
Yeah, we might have to break it up into a part 1, part 2. No.
We need to do this because okay. when I say this year is your best year,
yeah,
I'm so excited to get to this part because I hate talking about that other stuff. I've always hated it since I met you.
Yes.
Loved Palooza. I was in there cutting up, being just the best thing. But once I seen it, its effect on you, yeah. I could care less for it.
Yeah.
So now we're here again, 2020. Mm-hmm. A lot of people haven't been able to see it up close because mm-hmm. we've been shut down.
Been in COVID.
But I've had the luxury of being here to watch all you've done for yourself. Mm-hmm. And just to even talk about handcrafted self-care. I spoke to Palooza being that thing, the escape for people. Mm-hmm. And I remember us speaking and self-care being a conversation prior to you losing everything. You yep. had your first self-care on Ryan's yep. first birthday.
Yep.
And it was about self-care,
yep.
holistic wellness, healing, mm-hmm. dealing with your grief, because you finally started doing that prior to finding out there was going to be another thing that you would have to grieve.
Yep.
And seeing you transform from giving something to people for them to escape their reality mm-hmm. to deciding yourself to go on your journey and then also say, no, I don't want y'all escaping anymore. Mm-hmm. I want y'all to live in your mm-hmm. life and mm-hmm. heal from things and mm-hmm. be able to be your best self. And I want to be a vehicle for that. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be that the escape artist for you. Yep. I don't, like, that's not what it is. And I think that's so beautiful. Mm-hmm. And it's not the cool thing to do.
Yep.
It's not the cool thing because that's the hard work.
Yep.
Looking at yourself is the hardest work.
Nah, healing is cool now. What are you talking about?
So I absolutely commend you. Like I said, self-care and handcrafted. I've listened to all of them. I got to sit here with LaShawn and mm-hmm. Hear you interview people. And it's really an opportunity, just like now for you. You've had plenty of interviews. Mm-hmm. Nobody's asking about you.
Yeah.
They're asking about everything else that you're not a product of, but mm-hmm. that's a product of you.
Mm-hmm.
So I always, when I was working in a school, I quit, y'all.
Congratulations.
Crazy. 2020 is crazy.
God is good.
Yes. But I remember always telling my kids, because they always used to talk about their environment. Mm-hmm. And I worked in North Long Beach and Compton, mm-hmm. which you know. And I would always say, stop focusing on being a product of your environment.
Yep.
Let your environment be a product of you.
Yep.
So I would always encourage that. And I think... listening to your story, very much product of your environment. Mm-hmm. Like you were in New York City, mm-hmm. the best time, mm-hmm. partying.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to be here doing that. Yes, you have the skill to make it successful, but now you're in a space where is like you're looking at your environment and like, nah, I want to transform this. Mm-hmm. And it's not just the space, like the party space, social space, yep. the space where people have fun. It's like, nah, that real life stuff that's going to keep you healthy, that's yep. going to change the trajectory of probably your family's life, the way I've watched you, which yep. your parents, you're teaching stuff to yep. your journey. So I'm talking too much, but how has that been now since losing everything? Mm-hmm. And you've lost things many times before, and mm-hmm. this time you sat in it, be it because of COVID. Mm-hmm. But I don't even want to give that to COVID mm-hmm. because there's people that lost everything that aren't sitting in their stuff.
Yep.
So how has that journey been? Why is it important to you to mm-hmm. do that? And whatever else you want to share.
Great loaded question. The beauty of losing everything is there's nothing blinding you from who you are. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's the good things. That's the bad things. That's the things that you love about yourself, the things that you don't like about yourself. So in me losing absolutely everything, you know, from my livelihood to my love to professions, you know, I had nowhere else to go. And, you know, naturally, or me in the past, I would have run to a party, or I would have run to alcohol, or alcohol and a party. Mm-hmm. I didn't have that. So I just had me, the couch, you know, God, and just a lot of time. And, what I did for the first time in my life was sat with my full self and called out everything that was wrong with me and everything that was right with me, and started assessing what it is that I need to heal. Not what I need to correct, but what I actually need to heal. And what I didn't realize was from my mentality to just pick up and move on, I was just picking up my trauma. I was picking up my inefficiencies, and I was just walking it with me everywhere else I went, and it would just show up in a different way. So when the chickens came home to roost, as they would say, in each situation, I'm like, oh, it's not that big. Come on and go. Until it did come to this point of me losing everything. Now I have nothing to pick up except myself. So as I did that, you know, and I remember, like, even in our conversations, me saying, no, you know, I'm gonna take this time to work on myself. And you're just like, yeah, whatever. Like that's because that's what people say when they get to that point. But, you know, I had already kind of started that journey through therapy and through starting to get that stuff out. But I think even when I initially started going to therapy, I was just dumping stuff on my therapist. It felt good to, you know, be able to talk and, you know, just somebody just let you go without any interjection. But that wasn't helping either. It did help start the process, but it wasn't helping me. It wasn't until I got my next therapist and I started getting tools to work through these traumas, to work through these flaws, and to work through, you know, just my inefficiencies. And what I realized and what made it relatable for me is it was like any other profession or any other work. You got to get up and choose it every single day. Mm-hmm. Like the same way I would wake up and, you know, sign on to the computer, get into Zoom and like start these meetings and take my notes and do that. I chose that mm-hmm. every single day. Like the same day I go to the gym, I work out, I choose that. So it's like the greatest work that I'll ever do in life will be on myself. Mm-hmm. And because like you're saying, like changing your environment, if I'm able to be my full healthy self, I can affect so much more mm-hmm. positively, you know, whether it be my family, whether it be my partner, you know, whether it be my group of friends, my businesses, like all of those things. So what I started to realize is as I was doing this very difficult work on myself, because it is hard. It's not easy, and it damn sure ain't sexy. Mm-hmm. I started doing the work on myself, and as I was like praying about it, and, you know, just talking to God, I'm like, give me a sign. Give me a sign that I'm doing the right thing. And it wouldn't be the type of sign that you would think, like you get this opportunity or mm-hmm. your girl comes back in your life. But it would just be, it really first started showing up in my family, mm-hmm. you know. And I've spoken to my family on this, but we more so, like we're a loving family, but you wouldn't know how connected we actually are just because of, you know, communication. Mm-hmm. And so in starting that weekly call with my family and just like opening up and leading with my vulnerability, and like, I think that was a big thing for me, like just committing to being vulnerable, like no matter what, like, because vulnerability isn't weakness. Like being a vulnerable man isn't a weak trait. It's actually one of the strongest traits you can have. Mm-hmm. So me leading with that was life-changing. Like I can sit here and not braggadociously, honestly tell you, I have changed my family's life by changing my own life, you know.
It's oozing.
It is. And, you know, we're such a better family now, and just continuing to get better. You know, I'm now a better partner as a result of that work, you know, and even in that, just understanding that things take time, like results take time. Like when you're putting in work with anything, it's going to take time. It's going to take patience. So if you have someone gracious and willing to work with you and work through you, you're blessed, you know. But like even that, like when you decided that you had enough, I couldn't knock you for that, because it's like, did I hope and pray that we would come back? Absolutely. But there was also that side of me that was doing the work and understanding that it just may not be in the cards for us, and that I have to be okay with that because of consequences and what I've done. So I think it was just a lot of accountability and a lot of accountability, a lot of vulnerability, and just a lot of stepping into my full manhood, mm-hmm. you know, and my view of manhood is completely different now than it was. You know, it's like, it's I just come back to accountability, mm-hmm. like for myself, for others, like what I allow around me, what I don't, what I allow into my life, what I entertain, what I don't. And that process has changed the trajectory of my life. You know, whereas where I was headed, I think I would have ended up successful and whatever and whatever I would have done. But I don't think that I would have succeeded at the things that matter mm-hmm. in life. Like to the point of now, like everything is on the up, but it's because of what I chose to do with myself. Like I chose to uproot a lot of things. And, you know, that's, I'm saying it very matter-of-factly, but I know it's not easy. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not just as simple as like you wake up in the mirror and say, I'm going to change. But it is as simple as making that choice every single day. And like, if you ask me what I'm most proud of, it's that. It's mm-hmm. that I wake up and choose to be the best version of myself every single day. Mm-hmm. And as I do that, everything around me gets better. Mm-hmm. Like you talk about all that I've lost. As I sit in front of you today, everything is booming. Mm-hmm. Like our love is blooming. Business is booming. Like I'm sitting on some great opportunities. My family is doing better than ever. Like my mm-hmm. my friendships are so healthy and just so full, you know, and so fulfilling. The way I'm able to converse on this platform with people and it's just a full way of living. And, you know, I'm blessed that, you know, I'm still young enough to enjoy all of it and that I don't have to learn this lesson when I'm, you know, 55 and lonely. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm able to learn it when I'm 30 and I still have so much more to give. So, yeah.
Well, I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
And it shines through you.
Thank you.
I feel like everybody feels it. People that have known you forever.
Yeah.
And you've had to deal with my mouth the last 2 years. I'm like, you ain't doing no work.
Yeah.
You think it's work, it's not work. You need to fire your therapist because she's not doing her job. Like, I've done all of that. So I really do commend you because it just shows how much you really care about yourself, even at your lowest. And that's so important. And that's a blessing. And it brings me to self-care.
Yep. My baby.
Yeah. That's
my second baby.
You are the walking billboard for that.
Yeah.
And I think that's the thing to most be proud of. Overpalooza, which is amazing.
Yep.
Changed the world in a way for some people. But to be a walking billboard for something like that, man. So tell us about self-care, because I feel like people do need to know about
it's,
that.
It's huge. So like it goes back to just like whatever I'm doing or whatever I'm creating, it has to be me, right? Mm-hmm. So self-care is just the latest iteration of Cam in what I'm choosing. And I'm choosing mental, emotional, physical, financial, personal, spiritual wellness. And that's all it is. So, you know, that comes in a lot of forms. So whether it is, you know, bringing a life coach on the Zoom to talk brothers through their, you know, their goals and how they want to figure those things out, whether it is financial literacy or whether we're talking about ways to improve and enhance the community, like whether we're talking about mentorship. Mm-hmm. So for me, it's a nonprofit organization, but it's what we're ultimately doing is just creating a space for, and it was very important to me that I started with Black men, because we need the space to heal properly, and that's a large space for Black men, because just getting a Black man to talk about trauma, to get a Black man to talk about inefficiencies, flaws, things that have gone wrong in their life, that's huge. So we've already crossed the first threshold or the first checkpoint by just getting brothers to show up and do that. And now, similar to my journey, what we want to do is give them tools to combat those things and tools to deal with those things. So as we do that, we're linking brothers up with therapists, with life coaches. You know, we're creating a therapy fund. We're doing just all these different things so that life is already pretty lonely. It's even lonelier as a Black man. Mm-hmm. And we want to just let brothers know, one, you're not alone in the physical, but also like we're going to give you tools to combat all of that and to deal with it. And, you know, what I'm most proud of is that these men show up every single time, and they show up authentic and they show up vulnerable. And, you know, 2021, we're planning to open up the space to our sisters as well, because we feel like there's a lot of healing that needs to happen there as well between the dynamic between us, Black men and women. But even that, we want to be very, very conscious of how we open up that space and how we build that, because conversation, I feel like, is the start of everything. But then in the same way, we want to be giving tools. Like we want to bring people on who may or may not have a following, but they have something that people can learn from. Mm-hmm. They have experience, you know, like you've said that I've had my mother on those calls, you know, and just how inspiring she's been. And, you know, we've had your mother on there. We've had Kendall Jasper, the therapist, the doctor. We've had a bunch of people. We had brothers come on there and just talk about, you know, the most deep and personal things. Mm-hmm. And like, that's what tells me the space is special. Mm-hmm. Because we're able to evoke that out of people, and just make brothers comfortable. Be it, you know, we're not in person, so it's in front of a computer screen, so that's even weirder. Mm-hmm. So the fact that we're able to do that, it's special, you know. And I'm blessed, and I'm humbled to be leading that charge, because that's just such a large thing and such an important thing. And I'm not the only one doing it, but I'm doing it in my way, just the same way I did Palooza, the same way I did advertising. I'm doing it in my own unique kind of Cam way. And I love it.
Mm-hmm. Give a shout out to the guys.
Oh yes, of course, the team. So you know, I got Asa, and I got Brian B Ford, who are my right and left hand in the process. And you know, even with that, like building something like that takes really special men, mm-hmm. special kind of men, and dedicated and committed men to build this thing up. And and Brian and Asa have been leading the charge to where I just get to come in and be me, mm-hmm. and you know, big idea it up and see how we get better and how we do it. But like, as far as like running the business and running the programming, they do that. Mm-hmm. So like, shout out to B4, shout out to Asa. I know they're gonna watch this, and I'm sorry you guys had to wait 2 hours to get a shout out. But yeah, no, it's and they're so important. And like, that's something else I'm learning as I go into my new experiences, is just like, you know, the type of people that are needed to push things. Like, you need to align with the people who are willing to push those things the way that you are.
Yes. So now I'm looking at the time.
Yeah.
2:37. We are chatting.
Yes, we are.
One thing about us.
We gonna chat.
We gonna chat
every time.
But we're to the end of the podcast.
Yes.
This is your final episode
yes.
for the season.
This is the season finale of season one. It's been a crazy season yeah. already.
Yeah. And I think, like I said, throughout, the most beautiful thing is giving people the opportunity to see who they are
mm-hmm.
by getting to speak about themselves. I don't think we often get to sit down and think of all we've been through, mm-hmm. how we got to be who we are.
Mm-hmm.
So I think this is such a special platform,
yep.
whether it's people known
mm-hmm.
or people unknown.
Mm-hmm.
The people that have come back to watch this is because of the stories
yep.
and because of the person sitting in the chair, and not because of who they are or what they have,
yep.
but what their story is. So I thank you for this. I enjoy
yes.
it. Shout out to LaShawn, because
yeah.
this would
big
not
shout
be
out
possible.
To LaShawn. If we got to tell the story about LaShawn quickly.
Gotta tell the story.
So as I was starting this,
big foods.
Like everything that like anyone who knows me knows that I'd be trying to have things perfect and grandiose and big to roll them out. And that was the same thing with this podcast. I've been sitting on this for 2 years and just nervous about getting it out, like nervous how it would be received, what I actually wanted to talk about. And, you know, I told LaShawn about it and he was like, bro, absolutely. Cause I put like the feeler out, like, yo, if I did this thing about this, would you guys listen? He's like, bro, absolutely. And then I remember I called him
mm-hmm.
just for advice on how to shoot it. And he hits me up. He's like, yo, bro, I will come and shoot the podcast. And I'm like, whoa,
best
like,
guy.
Bro, I'm not even set up. I'm not even set up to do that yet and like to do it properly. He said, bro, don't worry about it. I got you. I believe in you. And I'm like, what a guy.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, what does that say to me about what I need to be doing?
Mm-hmm.
That someone believes in it that much. Someone believes in it probably just as much or more than I do
mm-hmm.
to put their own time and dime into making this thing come to life. And man, LaShawn, what a brother.
Yeah.
What a brother,
flying
man.
Flying from New York.
Yeah, flying in from the city to come and do these episodes and shoot, edit them,
yeah.
and get
Down.
make them look as good as they are. And, you know, I'm thankful to have a brother like him who I'm able to now learn from daily and converse with daily and, you know, back to that, just build a relationship with. Like, when I say this is a brother of mine, like, a brother and like somebody that I truly appreciate, and this wouldn't be possible without you, man. So
mm-hmm.
thank you. This also is impossible without you.
Set director.
And your set directing, your exceptional support, your unwillingness to let me chill. And you're pushing me out the bed. You're wanting to talk about these things to the wee hours and push me and constantly just inspire me to be my best self. This is my best self coming out. It's just coming out on camera in front of all these people. So thank you.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't be here if you didn't do this work.
Yeah, that I know. That I know.
But I appreciate you.
Your horse.
Yeah, I was about to cry.
So oh, man.
Let me gather myself. Right. But yes, final episode. Thank your audience.
Yes. Thank you guys for subscribing. Thank you guys for listening to these episodes. These conversations are so, so near and dear to my heart. Hopefully you have been able to be inspired, to be informed by these conversations. This is just season one. I feel like I'm saying goodbye, but we're just getting started. This was but the first season is always special. So I'm glad that you guys are finding your way here, that you're tuning in. Please subscribe if you haven't already. And yeah, Handcrafted season one.
Final question of the show.
Final question of the show and the season. Talk to me.
Mr. McCullough.
Yeah.
You've lived a life.
OD.
2 hours and 40 minutes of a life.
OD. I left out a lot.
A lot. I was trying to help you leave it out.
Yeah.
But you lived a life.
Yeah.
Ups and downs, mm-hmm. consequence, mm-hmm. loss, mm-hmm. a lot of grief, mm-hmm. a lot of growth, a lot of transformation. Mm-hmm. So you get the opportunity to go back to Buffalo, mm-hmm. which you don't like to do because you love the L.A. sun.
Mm-hmm.
And you get to speak to your 7-year-old self again.
Yep.
What do you tell him?
I tell him to honor yourself in every situation. And that looks different in a lot of situations, but always honor yourself. And the second... The follow-up to that would be good to others and be better to yourself, which is something that we say now. But I think that that is something that I would tell my 7-year-old self. That's something that I still have to tell my 35. Mm-hmm. Something I have to tell my 35-year-old self now, and something that I'll continue to tell myself, because you can't pour from an empty cup, but also you can see all the positivity around you and reflect off of you if you're doing what you need to do for yourself. And that's the most important thing.
Yes. 7-year-old you would be lucky.
Yes.
To hear that. And luckily you do have nephews that you can tell that to.
Yes.
Now.
My
so
guys.
They don't have to wait till 35 to get that.
Yeah, my guys. My nephew, you know, my nephews are my lifeblood. I love them to death. JC, Brady, and Griffin.
Yeah.
Those are my guys.
So, again, congratulations.
Thank
on
you.
Doing this thing that you were hesitant to do for so long.
Yes.
It's being received so well. It really is.
Thank you.
And it's feeding people in a way. I keep saying it, that most things aren't. I listen to plenty of podcasts. You know I'm not into foolishness.
Yep.
And even this is different from all the beautiful things that I listen to. So,
yep.
Continue doing what you're doing.
I will.
I'm so proud of you.
Thank you.
And I hope the Lord continues to bless you.
He will.
And the people around you who are willing to feed you with the big spoons.
Yes.
LaShawn.
He's a man.
The podcast is called What's a Good Guy? You are a good guy.
He is.
Yeah.
So, amazing. Thank you.
Yeah. I hope I wasn't boring.
No, you were great. I love you. Yeah, damn, we got some A's. Let's pop that.